Behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be contradicted. These words are taken from the Gospel of St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the 600s, the Persian armies and bandits had been ravaging towns and cities in the east. These Persians, with King Khosrow II at their head, seemed untouchable as they went on plundering province after province. They had even stolen sacred relics from churches, including the most precious relic in the world, the true cross on which our Lord died. When word of this travesty had reached Emperor Heraclius, he set all other matters aside and assembled an army. The Romans made their way towards Persia, conquering and recapturing numerous cities and provinces which the Persians were complacently occupying. Heraclius offered peace to Khosrows as long as the Persians would cease assaulting different cities and would return the true cross. But in spite of the determination of the Romans and the defeats he had lost thus far, Khosrows stubbornly refused the honorable terms of peace which Heraclius offered him. While it was apparent to the other Persians that the king must surrender, Khosrows was blinded by his greed of his treasures. Thus, the Persians themselves imprisoned Khosrows in a tower which he had built to harbor all of his treasures. And then those Persians pleaded for peace with the Roman emperor. The emperor mercifully granted them this peace and was hailed as a victor throughout the empire. Before leaving the Persians, though, Roman Emperor Heraclius made sure to reclaim the most important treasure which the Persians had stolen. With all due adoration, respect, and love, Heraclius carefully secured the true cross on which our Lord had died. He, with many of his soldiers, traveled from Persia to Jerusalem, and they safely delivered the true cross back to the place where it had saved the world. Arriving at the Mount of Olives, where our Lord prayed and spent the night before Good Friday, Heraclius had the procession stop. In that same garden, Heraclius took the cross of salvation upon his own shoulders. He wanted to follow the way of the cross, putting his feet in the footsteps of our Lord, carrying the same burden as he did, as our Lord did. Now, as he did this, Heraclius was clothed in his kingly regalia, richly decorated robes, and most probably his crown adorned with precious stones. However, when the emperor had taken the cross upon himself, he found it was nearly impossible to hold the cross and to carry it along. Because Heraclius was struggling, the difficulty was evident to everyone around. Thus, the Patriarch of Jerusalem pointed out to the emperor that the pomp and extravagance of this procession was not like the humble spirit of our Lord, who first carried this cross. Recognizing that his crown, his robes, and the regalia held him back, the emperor humbly divested himself of these cumbersome worldly treasures, and then he was able to bear the cross and to follow the steps of our Lord all the way to Mount Calvary. The actions of Heraclius remind us of the importance of carrying our crosses as did our Lord. This past week, we celebrated the Feast of the Purification, and this feast marked the liturgical transition from the crib of Christmas to the cross of Calvary. The events in the Gospel of the Purification are the fourth joyful mystery of the Rosary, the presentation of our Lord in the temple, and the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It was on this occasion that Simeon, by the light of the Holy Ghost, approached the Blessed Mother, knowing that she was holding the Messiah of the world. But before leaving the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, Simeon uttered a prophecy concerning the Christ child. He said, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel." That is, there will be many souls who will reject the redemption won by this child. Many shall fall from his grace and salvation, for instead of being grateful to him and complying with his graces, men shall refuse his favors and reject their Messiah. On the other hand, Simeon continued, "The child is also set for the resurrection of many. That is, by the infinite sacrifice of his life, Christ will save mankind from sin and will open the gates of heaven." Then Simeon said that the child is also set for a sign which shall be contradicted. This sign is the cross, for the cross has one beam contradicting or crossing another. Thus, the sign of contradiction is the cross on which the Messiah would die, the cross which would be rejected by some, but venerated and loved by others. My dear faithful, as much as is possible, we should want to be among the number of those who love and venerate the cross, not only of the cross of Calvary, but also the daily crosses that come our way. The prophecy of Simeon is a message to us. As our Lord was set for the fall and resurrection of many, so the merits of our Lord's cross are stubbornly rejected or gladly received by many today. Thus, his cross is the sign of salvation to those who will accept it. And so it is to be for us. Though this view of the cross is the opposite from the mind of a worldly person. Those who seek for only pleasures and happiness in this world wish to avoid any cross, any pain or sacrifice at all costs. In their mind, a cross is the worst thing that can befall a man on this earth. If there is rain, if it is cold outside, or the car battery dies, then they must do something to rid themselves of these crosses, or to avoid even the possibility of some pain. They take care to avoid all discomfort, as if it were the worst and most tragic misfortune. But how should we who are the followers of Christ, view our daily crosses? We should see the cross as a good, just as the Church venerates and loves the cross on which our Lord died, and she calls that day Good Friday. God ordained that he would go to heaven by means of crucifixion. He did not even spare his own beloved mother, whom he loved most dearly, from the cross. It was out of love that he allowed her to share in this sorrow. so that she might rejoice all the more in the redemption which the cross would win. And God ordained that we too would go to heaven by our crosses. By willingly suffering some pain or discomfort, we show our readiness to earn our place in heaven. If then we wish to take the shortcut to heaven, so to speak, then we must tread the way of the cross on earth as our Savior did, and as His most blessed Mother did as well. To do this, we must not run away from every cross, as worldly people do, but we must embrace it, as the Emperor Heraclius did. We must divest ourselves of the idea of the world and its glory. Then we need to accept the cross and even embrace it with love and cheerfulness. We probably will not feel cheerful and happy to suffer, but if we act cheerful, it will become easier to bear the cross. And by this practice of virtue, we can earn extra merit over and above the cross itself. Like Heraclius, we want to walk in the footsteps of our Lord to heaven. Resolve then, my dear faithful, to recognize your daily crosses as a good. Accept your cross willingly, without complaining, and without anyone even being able to tell that you are shouldering a cross. Strive to embrace the cross cheerfully and renew your efforts to do so every day. Holy Mother, the Church would have us transition from the happiness and joys of the Christmas season to the sorrows and the sufferings of our Lord in Holy Week. But as we continue on toward the way of the cross, let us bring with us the joys of the Christ child, and let us not forget the message of Simeon. It is true, this child is set for a sign of contradiction, the cross. But when we follow him, when we cheerfully accept that cross, and we joyfully embrace it, that same Lord and Savior will bring us to the resurrection of eternal life, with him, with the Blessed Mother, and the saints in heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.